back to that reading of Mary and Elizabeth greeting one another, and I want to say in the same way, just look at them. Just look at them. Look at them now. Picture this. Elizabeth has just opened the door to Mary's shy knocking. And there's about to be a leaping. But this is the moment, the exquisite just before. How do you picture that? Mary, a young woman just barely in her teens. What does she look like in your imagination just now? She has black hair, of course, and eyes black too, I think, at least dark brown and alive. I would say her eyes would be so alive, a bit of fear in them, mixed with determination and hope and a bold uncertainty that comes with youth, saying, I don't care what anyone says, which means I do care, desperately. She's just arrived after a long journey. Is she alone? Did she make that journey all by herself? She's dusty and tired, and she has cheap sandals worn thin. And her skin has the smoothness of her few years, but she's sunburned too. And she has about her that look. You know when you go to the airport to meet someone who's coming in on that late flight? Just watch people as they get off the plane. They're tired, and their body language tells you that, and part of their heads and hearts are still in the place that they left. They're half here, they're half there, and they want more than anything else just to lie down somewhere. I think Mary has a bit of that look about her. And another look, too, a little haunted, maybe aware of her own body as never before, looking around and wondering, can people tell? Wondering what kind of welcome she's going to receive. Elizabeth and Zechariah have probably sent a gracious message. I'm making this up now, the scriptures are silent, but they probably said, of course you can come to us, you'll be very welcome here, when her mother had written, but what else could they say? But now that she was here, right at the door, relieved but alert to any small sign that this was a mistake, that she'll be intruding or unwelcome, can you see all of that? Today she's just a kid. And Elizabeth, what about her? Can you see her now? Look at her face. Brown like a roasted fig, and wrinkled like one too. The corners of her eyes and mouth full of the lines of a woman used to laughing. She's been baking, and there's flour on her apron and the side of her nose, and she raises her arms high in greeting, and the sleeves of her robe fall away, and her arms are strong with the loose flesh on the underside, soft like worn leather, and she opens her arms wide, and her face breaks open like a brand new day, and she goes, and she runs the last few steps to embrace the child who now has no doubts at all. She is welcome here, and she's safe. And they weep, and they laugh, and they mutter half sentences. And the older woman's voice is deep and rich, a cello kind of sound, seasoned with the years, and over the top, the softer piccolo of the girl in her arms. The sound squeals in laughter and wordless sounds, just as it must have been at creation. So let's leave them at the doorstep for a moment. They're kind of oblivious to us now anyway. So fast forward now, anticipating our prayer request time later in the service and thinking of the people and situations that you'll want to lift up in prayer. There are so many things to fill our hearts and minds, especially at this time of year. My prayer list seems to get longer and longer. I think that's true for you as well. Lately, though, it seems to be taking on a bit of a theme. And the theme is young girls. I'll try to explain. Well, early in December is the anniversary of the Montreal Massacre. Someone opens fire on women because they're women feminists who have the boldness to study engineering. Think of also the number of missing or murdered Aboriginal women in this country and other items in the news. both local and international, that make it clear that when it comes to gender issues, we've got a long way to go. Sometimes it feels like we're going backwards. Added to that, some personal conversations that echo that theme. And to me, it felt a little overwhelming, too much all at once. And this will shock you, but I can get cranky. I can get cranky and withdrawn and say to myself, like, what's the use? Nothing ever changes. And I can let the life in me wither and feel the tug of despair. And then there are other moments, conversations with young women who come home for the holidays from university or from jobs elsewhere. The life in them, the conversations that leave me saying to myself, I can't wait to see what your future will be and what you're going to make it. And then being reminded of young women, Morgan Weinberg, Greta Thunberg, Autumn Pelche, and so on, saying their own form of Magnificat. And recent conversations on Facebook with young women who used to be in my CGIT group and my junior choirs. And hearing Bernadette sing. And chatting with young parents like Ari and Jonathan. All of them singing their own Magnificat. And something then within me softens and leaps. Two women whose lives are defined by their bodies. Elizabeth, who had not had children, and in those days, in the absence of medical understanding, this is considered, first of all, a bad thing. Second of all, the woman's fault. And finally, somehow a judgment from God. And now at an advanced age, she's carrying a child, and while there's great joy in that, I'd like to hear Elizabeth's perspective, now into her 6 months. What that's doing to her body, how she sees the future, and if in fact she understands God the way her contemporaries do. We'll never know, of course, but I'd like to hear this from her point of view. Those of you who are women, for whom it has ceased to be after the way of women, if you found yourself pregnant now, laughter is a bit. Sarah did it anyway. Yeah. And you know, there would be talk. There'd be joking. And some pretty intrusive and nasty comments, I would say. Everyone with a claim on your body. And Mary, in that culture, a woman pregnant outside of marriage, the law said, the Bible says, should be stoned. Both of them, the young and the old, in a culture where their bodies are controlled and judged by others. So just look at them one more time. I can imagine them there with Zechariah's calm and silent support. Mary would be able to help in ways that you do when you visit older people. Could I just climb up on the chair and get that for you? Like that sort of thing? Run to the market for a bit of spice. They would probably bake together and mend and laugh and talk, sometimes about nothing at all, and sometimes about the wondrous ways that the Holy One works in their lives. And Mary, like a spring of clear, fresh water in Elizabeth's life, blessing her in ways yet unarticulated. And Elizabeth, a fountain of, not a fountain of youth, not that, but a fountain of wisdom and drawing from a source deep in the warm brown earth that is even now being made holy. I think they talked and laughed and hugged and worked their way into Magnificat. Let me offer you this. We have the great privilege of having in our lives, here at the church, and in our personal life, we have young people. Today we have baby Abigail. And we have other young people. Wait till you see them in the pageant. And I believe that God is calling us to be Elizabeth to their Mary. Does that make sense? Elizabeth and Zechariah offer her a place of acceptance and safety. She needed that. She stayed with them 3 months. Time to get her head together, to make a plan, to learn from Elizabeth, to read to Zachariah, whose silent presence was as powerfully healing as anything else. Can we do that? Can we be for the young people in our lives a safe place, a presence where they know they're loved and accepted, an atmosphere where they can discover who they are in the eyes of God and learn to say yes to God and have choices about the life within them and sing their own Magnificat? Young people come to us in various ways, each of them bursting with the life growing within them. Can this church be Elizabeth to their Mary? What a holy calling, what a blessing. So, baby Abigail, I pray that as you grow, your family will tell you about the day of your baptism and of the story we read today about Mary. And I pray that we can be part of your life and that she, Mary, can be part of your life as well as you grow into the young woman God would have you be. I pray for you a community of faith, this one or another, where there are Elizabeths and Zacharias to welcome you and shelter you and listen to you and honor you and delight in you. And for all of us this Christmas, I wish for you an inner leaping, that you will encounter in the eyes of a young person the pain and hope and the spirit that calls forth the Magnificat, a song of God who is turning the world around, a song of revolution where how things are does not have to be, where a young man can live in safety, his body and soul safe, and his own, without being shot for his race. Where old women see visions and old men dream dreams, and all flesh shall see it together. I wish for you a leaping. May it be so. Amen.